Hey, today is Sunday, March the 10th. This is a special Daf Yomi share concerning an introduction to Basa B'Chalav, as they are about to begin the Perek Kol HaBasa. Okay, Rabotai. What I'd like to do is share a couple of principles as the Daf Yomi begins Kol HaBasa, about the unique Isur of Basa B'Chalav. I want you to try to arrive at the question yourself. At the end of the Perek of Kol HaBasar, the Mishnah describes the cheese making process. And it uses the expression, if you have your Gemara, it's... I actually focused that at the Shulchan Aruch part, because the Shach is the one who has the real chidush to understand Basa B'Chalav well. So if you take a look at the sheet, which is, first sheet is number 99. That's what? Aaron Judge. That's it. Aaron Judge. Number 99, Aaron Judge. The Mechaber will capture that which the Mishnah states. The way they make cheese is they take one of the stomachs of the cow. It's called the keva, translated as the maw. And what they do is either they throw the entire maw into a huge vat of milk and it begins to curdle. Or they scrape the lining of that maw and throw that into the huge vat of milk. The lining has a heavier concentration of rennet, and rennet is the enzyme that enables milk to curdle. Fine. So if that's the process, what question do you think you're going to ask, or Achrishonim and Achronim are going to deal with? What question? How do you ever have kosher cheese? It's Basa B'Chalav. You're taking either the entire stomach or a part of the stomach and throwing it into a vat of milk. So what would be the next way in which you resolve this? What would you think, if I'm describing the lining of a maw versus a huge vat of milk, so in light of the last perek of Gid Anasheh, what would you suggest? Bittul. Okay, you're going to suggest bittul. However, as you well know, that's not effective. Why not? Because ein mevatlin isur lechatchila. You're not allowed to arbitrarily create the ratios of bittul. Furthermore, there is another issue. There are two phenomenon that are not subject to bittul, even if it's 1,000 to 1. 1,000 to 1. One is a dover hamachmitz. If I throw a little yeast into a huge dough, even though the dough outweighs the little yeast 1,000 to 1, that dough is chametz. Why? Because the halacha is that dover hamachmitz eino batel. Anything that causes the fermentation process is never batel. And I'm going to explain why in a second, as soon as I introduce the one that's relevant for us. The second halacha is called a dover hamaamid. Something that gives an item its substance. It gives it its shape, its form. Gelatin is a problem. Why? Because when you put gelatin into milk or cream, it becomes ice cream. And it gives it its shape. So no matter how minute the product is, it's not going to become batel, because bittul is based on a rationale. The rationale is that the ratio is so overpowering that you don't notice the effect of the minority product in this particular mixture. So when I have a vegetable soup, and a piece of non-kosher meat falls in, and there is shishim against it, the assumption is that even if I see the piece of meat, of course you take it out. But if you can't see the piece of meat any longer, we assume that the tam has been so dissipated within the 60 times of kosher vegetable soup that the non-kosher meat makes no impact upon the vegetable soup. And as a result, you're allowed to eat it. However, if its effect is noticeable, no matter how much you put in of the permissible product, you're never going to be able to say, you know what? I don't notice this product any longer. If you didn't have that product, the ice cream would melt right away. Same thing if you don't have the rennet, you're going to have a vat of milk the rest of your life. You're not going to have any cheese. So the halacha is that a dovar hama'amid afilu be'elef lo batel. Okay? So the Mishnah uses the expression about a ma'amid. A ma'amid. So take a look at the sheet, the bottom of the sheet. This is the Mechaber's formulation of the halacha. It's the last Mishnah in Kol HaBasa. He'emid givina ba'or kevas kshera yeshba tam basar asura. V'im lav muteres. If I take the skin of the maw of a kosher animal, just have to check this 1 second, and I'm not going to move. Okay, I'm finished now. Don't worry.
Nothing. Sheets here?
Yes, I have. There should be. I made 25. I didn't think it'd be more than 25 people. That's all. Good. So the Mechaber writes, if somebody made cheese using the skin of a more of a kosher animal, what does the Mechaber use as the criteria? Im yesh bo ta'am basar asura. If in this cheese you can notice a meaty flavor, you are not permitted to eat the cheese. V'im lav muteres. But if you can't notice the taste of the meat, then it's mutter. So elsewhere, you remember that the way we do any test tasting is with Beefsteak Charlie. Beefsteak Charlie. It's called Te'imas Kfela. You take a Gentile connoisseur, Mr. Charlie, and you ask him to taste this mixture. If he notices the problem, so if you have the original case, there's a vegetable soup with a non-kosher piece of meat. Before you start using shishim, in the time of the Gemara, they used Te'imas Kfela. They bring the soup to a beefsteak and they ask him, can you please taste it? If he says, I know that it has a meaty flavor to it, you're not allowed to eat it. If it says, tastes like vegetable, you're allowed to eat it. The problem was that after a while, they were chayshish, Gentiles, that they were giving us the wrong answer, knowing that our license to eat this soup depended on their response. And Chazal were choshesh, and they said, we never rely on Te'imas Kfela any longer, but we rely on shishim. That's where the shishim. Because shishim is a halacha that beyond shishim, there is no taste transfer if the ratio is greater than 1 to 60. That's a halacha. So here, says the Mechaber, if I used the more of a kosher animal, it depends on whether or not you can taste the meat in the cheese. Avol hamamid ba'or kevas nevela trefa ubehema tameya. But if I use the maw of a non-kosher animal, a nevela, an animal that dies without a kosher shechita, a trefa, it has one of the 18 trefos that you learned about in Elul trefos, ubehema tameya, a non-kosher animal, oser b'chol shehu. Even if it's a minute amount, You are not permitted to eat the cheese. So tell me, what's the rationale for the second halacha? What is the rationale why, if you have a non-kosher more, scrape the lining, even if it's a kosher, 1,000 to 1, why are you not allowed to eat? Why don't we say it's butel because it's more than shishim? What? Because it's a davar hamavet. And I just told you the principle. Because it gives its shape and its substance. It can never be butter. So what do you think is the next question? That should apply to a kosher one as well. That's the question which the Shach asks. The Mechaber just quotes this halacha. He's paraphrasing the Mishnah. No great chiddush. But the question is conceptually, if we operate with the principle that a davar hama'amid is afilu be'elef lo batel, what difference should it make as to whether the ma'amid, its source, is a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? In both cases, it's either tarfus or it's basa b'chalab. In both cases, you're not allowed to eat any cheese. How is it that we eat cheese? So this is a question that troubled many. And the one who formulated it most succinctly and clearly is the Shach. So if you go to the next page, page 40, number 40, who's number 40? What? Come on, don't you guys know number 40 is? Who? Severino. That's why I wrote Tzorech Tfiloseinu. He might have a rotator cuff issue. They don't. They hope it's not torn, but might. Okay. So now the Shach says, "Aval hamamid ba'or kevas nevela, hachiluk bazeh kaslu hapoiskin. The or kevas kshera." Me'achar shehu mutar bifnei atzmo v'les be'isur elo mishum chiburo im hagvina. When you're dealing with kosher more, in and of itself, it's a permissible product. It's a kosher animal. What generates the isur? The fact that it's connected to what? To the cheese. The more is connecting to the cheese. Kol emas dilo yohiv tama lav basa b'chalofu. If the ratio is more than shishim, the halacha says that the taste of the more has not impacted whatsoever into the cheese. As a result, you, not that you are being mivatel, you're not being mivatel the more. You're not being mivatel it. Because you can't be mivatel it. Because it's a davar hamamid. What happens in this case? You have not created the isur of basa b'chalav. When you're dealing with a non-kosher more, the more itself is a davar ha'asur. It's part of a non-kosher animal. So in order to create the isur, I don't have to do anything. All I have to worry about is if this non-kosher mor had an impact on the cheese. And it certainly did have an impact on the cheese, despite the fact that the ratio was 1,000 to 1. How do I know it had an impact on the cheese? Because it became cheese. So when you're dealing with a source of a mor, the rennet, from a non-kosher animal, under no circumstances can you eat that cheese. Because the laws of bitul don't apply. However, if you have a kosher animal, and that mor is now mixed in with the cheese, we, until there is a transference of ta'am, all you have is a mixture of a permissible product, kosher milk, and a permissible product, kosher mor. The only way to create the isur is to have their ta'am interact with one another, and now I've created the isur of basa b'chalav. since the halacha tells us that transference of taste cannot take place when there is more than shishim, it can't take place. So what you always, forever have in this mixture is kosher milk and kosher more. Okay, that's just it. That's the why it's good. That's exactly the what. Listen to my words. When you have more than shishim, you are not being mivatel the basar or the chalav. You're not being mivatel it. What are you doing? You haven't created the isur of basar b'chalav. How do I know that this chidush is accurate? So if you look on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, which is the toughest daf in Kalabasar, and the most essential daf in Kalabasar, the Mishnah is on the top of the page, Tipas Cholav, a drop of milk that falls onto a piece of meat. Oh, is there gravy in it? Does it spread to the whole piece? So the Gemara there says, establishes, Rava says, why is it that I have to worry about Nesinas Tam? Why is it that I say this? Because the Torah never said, Lo Tochal Basar B'Chalav. Never says it. Three times the Torah says, Lo Tivashel Yediba Chalevimo. Uses Rava the following words, Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Why did the Torah use the expression Lo Tivashel? It's not only to prohibit cooking. That's not the only reason. But it's there to offer some definition. What phenomenon takes place through Bishul? What phenomenon takes place through Bishul? Taste transfer. Nesinas Tam. Exactly. That's why, they had this a couple of times here in Tina, there was a power outage. Somebody had ice cream in the freezer, sitting in a box, sitting on top of a frozen chicken, and everything started to melt, and all the ice cream melted on the chicken. The lady calls me, yeah, I can throw out the chicken. Of course not. You wash off the chicken, you're allowed to eat it. Why? Because there's no bishul. And the absence of bishul, no ta'am can be transferred in the absence of bishul, in the absence of heat. No ta'am. What? Okay, that's midrabbanan. Midoraisa kavush is not himavusha. Yeah, good question.
But is the purpose of bishul for our kiddush?
Not necessarily. If we will see whether or not that applies on a second point that I'll talk about. But even if you have no interest in eating the basar b'chalav, if you cook basar b'chalav, you violate the law and you get 39 lashes.
But why does somebody cook basar b'chalav?
It's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question.
Perhaps for tanning, mixing a mixture, you want to eat
it. Yeah.
For the creation of cheese, that's considered a form of bishul?
Yes.
There's no heat,
the raw,
the milk.
Right.
But that's considered bishul.
Even if it's not, that's just it.
But you just said without cooking, there's no nesinas tam.
Correct.
You got nesinas tam by the creation of.
So I don't know anybody. There must be some because
it's an enzymatic reaction.
Okay.
So it's an enzymatic reaction.
So that trans could be because obviously, if you use a non-kosher, we're concerned about that tam that was slain.
So I'm just saying,
only by basar b'chalav. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is there any ratio if you have a kosher more and a small piece of non-kosher more where they might outweigh each other and be allowed?
Well, that would be too rare. That's a different issue. We have two factors contributing to something. That's a different subject. So again, since the Torah uses the word lo sevashel, it's teaching us a principle that the isur of basar b'chalav cannot be created until the transfer of taste takes place. Therefore, the Shach says, it explains the halacha. Since if you have a non-kosher piece of meat, so you have a davar ha'asur, it now mixes with the cheese, So even though there is a ratio of greater than 60 to 1, I don't care. Because the presence of the Isur has already been identified, and now I apply the halacha that for a Dover HaMamid, afilu be'elef lo batel. And that's why non-kosher cheeses can't eat. Just as an aside, that which at a time people said, he used to quote the Rav, I never heard it from him, but people quoted him, that you're allowed to eat all cheeses, is because there were many, many years where all of the major cheese companies, Kraft and all the others, said they are not using animal rennet any longer. They're using natural rennet. Artificial rennet. No more natural rennet. So, therefore, the issue of making cheese with a non-kosher source of meat, that was not in existence any. So the only question was that there was a gzeira of gvinas akum. So whether that applied, that's not my discussion now. But you will call any company now. They realized that the artificial rennet was good on the most commercial cheeses, but any time they wanted to age, have those very, very good aged cheeses, the rennet decomposed after 3-4 months. And it would start just falling apart. It was crazy. So they went back to animal rennet. And that's why today, you know, thank God we have enough companies to provide cheese for us, but it has to be kosher rennet. But the most important thing is that the principle is developed through this particular halacha. Now, if you look at the end of the... So I want to just finish the shach. Elahai ba'apikoi, in the second line, v'hai ba'apikoi. Aval or nevela, but the lining of a more of a nevela animal, ukayotzebo, she'osur me'atzmo, when it is independently prohibited, kevan shehu ma'amid, since it gives us its shape, anuroin ki'ilu ha'isur be'en, as if the isur is still present. You can't say it's batel. That's the principle of Dover HaMachmitz and Dover HaMamid. Umarshal pasak b'perikafei simin kuvav dafilu hamamid b'or kevas nevela batel b'samach. He said that even if it's a non-kosher source of meat, if there is shishim, you're allowed to eat it. Which, it's always going to be more than shishim. They never, in the vat of milk, they always throw in much less than shishim. V'ein dvarav mukhrachim, his words are not compelling. Nobody has accepted the Marshal's opinion. So again, principle of kol habasar is, of basar b'chal, that you do not create the isur when there is more than shishim of one against the other, and it's not using the mechanism of bitul. You're just not creating the isur. Hence the halacha of ein mivatlin isur lechatchila has no application whatsoever. Go to page 54 for a minute. Page 54. The Mechaber says in Siv Zayin, "Ein mevaklin isur lechatchila." You are not permitted to annul an isur lechatchila. So certainly you can't create the isur, the ratio, by taking the davar asur and putting it into something that is permissible. You can't do that. Va'afilu nafal litocheter. Even if the mixture came about legitimately, it was a mistake. Not that I put it in. However, ein bo shir levatlo, there is insufficient of the davar hamutter to be mevatalit. Ein mosifin alav heter kidei levatlo. You are not permitted to add to the quantity of the davar hamutter in order to reach the shishim litmus test. Avar ubitlo, if you did, o shariba alav, or you added to the quantity, im shogeg mutter V'im b'mezid aser. If you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. But if you did it b'mezid, you're not permitted to eat it. Not permitted to eat it. So here, by basa b'chalav, why do we allow you to make the cheese? Because I'm not being mevatel iser. What I'm doing is setting up a situation, which sounds bizarre, that I have a ta'aroves of milk and meat that never becomes basa b'chalav. It never came basa b'chalav. So I don't have to rely on the halacha of bitul. If I don't have to rely on the halacha of bitul, the halacha of ein mevatel iser lechatchila does not apply. So, I would never ever say this in public. And if you're going to quote me on it, I'm going to shut the tape recorder off right now. I'm going to deny it. In theory, if you're cooking in your kitchen and you have a fleishig soup or anything, meat, and you want to put in a little cheesy or milk flavor into it, as long as you know that there is a shishim in it, there is absolutely no iser in putting it in. What could be, think about, what could be the iser? I'm not. I just said by basa b'chalav, you're not being mevatel anything if it's more than shishim. You didn't create. I started with more. I have this huge pot of soup.
When is the principle of mevatel iser?
When you have a davar ha'asur. No, I have a non-kosher piece of meat. By basa b'chalav, the principle doesn't exist. Either it's less than shishim and you've created the iser. If it's more than shishim, you haven't created the iser.
Once you've created the iser, you cannot then ask.
That is correct.
That's correct.
If you put in, if you have a soup with 40 times a fleishig soup, and you want a milk base, if you have 40 times the soup, now you put in the milk, you've created the iser. So now what are you now going to do? Can't add 20 more things. Then you move out and you see what. But if you start initially with more than shishim, you're not relying on the halacha of bitul. Yes.
The soup has pieces of meat, and the common
will call on a piece of meat. So that's the. Then the Mishnah, which I refer to on Kufchas, if you drop a milk falls on, you have to see if there is gravy and if there are other vegetables in this stew. So then the shishim will be created not only against the piece of meat, but everything in the pot will contribute to the shishim as well. But if it's not in the gravy, then it's only measured by that piece of meat. Correct. That's the whole sugya on Kufkes. Yeah.
What about if it remains its own entity, the meat part?
Yes.
What about the fact that we only eat no meat within 6 hours?
But that's when you have real meat and real. Here, it's just a mixture that's not prohibited.
What we're saying, then, it is not real meat.
It is real meat.
So
I'm asking you, according to that, how do you eat cheese? Okay, so obviously, when the Rabbana made it zera, not even, what are they talking about? They're talking about when you have independently meat, and then you're having milk. Okay? That was not the issue of the mixture.
We are,
because we're afraid that we're going to cook them together. That's why you're not allowed to. We're afraid that you're going to cook them together. If you eat them together, or if you eat them together, you know, you're allowed to. You're allowed to have a roast beef sandwich and a milkshake. Because the isur is only derech bishul.
But that's what the Rabbanan
said. The Rabbanan said that because they were afraid they're going to cook it together. But what's something to be afraid of in this case? Because if you have more than shishim, you're never going to create the physical isur.
So
I don't want to go into that. That is one of the proofs throughout the entire year. There's a famous debate where the Chabetz Lifnei HaPesach is Isura Bala or Hetera Bala.
So everybody here would say, of course, it's a Teira Olah before Pesach. But then Rambam Pashtun said Chametz Lefnei HaPesach is Isur Olah. Because the concept of Chametz exists all year in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shem Chametz is a Dover HaAsur even before Pesach. That's why it's an issue. But if you held Teira Olah, this, it might, even though by Chametz, the law is not formulated as Lo Sivasha. It doesn't say that. It says Lo Tochal Chametz.
That's what it says. You're talking, Shach's concept is, conceptually, as long as the Shishim there, Isser doesn't apply if it's head to head.
So now the next Sugi will come in. It's now Pesach time. Is it Chayz of Anila? That's all. You know, there's so many Sugis. Not up there, exactly.
If you had a big pot, you know, 500 ounces and 4 ounces of meat fall in, so I'm sure that the pot of milk is fine. Can you take that 4 ounces of meat now and take it and have it as a burger? If you take the meat that fell into the pot of milk, the other way around, meat fell into the milk, and take
meat. Meat fell into the milk.
Right, because milk is kosher, we're not too worried about that.
Right. And now what happened?
I want to take the meat and have a burger.
And there was shishim.
Yeah, no, less than shishim.
So of course you know. Then of course it was cooking.
It was cooking. Yeah.
So of course you know. Then it's basa b'challah.
Right.
Of course it's basa. What's the question?
No, it's milk is not basa b'challah.
What?
The milk is okay, but the meat is not okay.
Who said the milk is okay?
What's give your case?
That's a.
More than shishim.
I asked if there's more than shishim.
Yes.
There is more than shishim. And you don't notice the meat any longer?
No, it takes the meat out.
I take the meat out.
So
I strain it. I get the meat out. Now can I have the burger?
You strain the milk out?
Afterwards. There's a lot of milk. A huge vat of milk.
Right.
And the meat falls.
That's cooking.
But the meat is less than shishim.
Obviously, which makes the milk okay.
The milk is fine.
The question is,
okay.
The question is, can I have the burger?
Can you rinse off the milk and use it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
When that happens, call the rabbi. I got to know, you know, if there are a lot of issues, that.
I thought the rationale for all cheese was because the rennet was pulverizing and have the syrup buzzering.
No, that nothing to do with it. Because in the time of the Gemara, they didn't pulverize anything. They threw either the entire maw or just the lining in. It was not pulverized. It was be'en. Mamish be'en.
Right. It was not a set. I don't know their method.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But this is what the Shach says.
This is a site. I slipped on the internet. They said that after you add the rennet, they actually eat the milk to be able to separate the curds from the whey.
They actually eat the what?
After the rennet goes in, they heat the milk.
Oh, they heat it.
Separate the curds from the whey.
Oh, perfect. So then it's even better. Excellent. Good. I want to touch upon one other fundamental machloikis. The Torah uses the expression three times, lo savashel. Once to generate an Isra Achila, once to generate Isra Bishul, and once to generate Isra Hanah. Fine. So, there is a machloikis in the following case. Now, if you go to page 34 for a minute, all Rishonim, Tosfos, the Rashba, the Ramban, everybody asks the exact same question at the beginning of the parak. You've learned the last three prakim, Oisoy v'esbino, Kisui hadam, and Gidan Nasha. They all stylistically begin in the exact same fashion. Oisoy v'esbino, no heg, bechutz laaretz, v'eretz yisrael, b'desh, b'dat, b'dip, b'vim. It applies in chutz laaretz and eretz yisrael. It applies for kachim, doesn't apply for kachim, whatever, gives you all the guidelines. Asks Tosfos and the Rashba, how come Kol HaBasar doesn't start that way as well? The Basar B'Chalav, no egg, B'aretz, or B'chutz La'aretz, no egg, or if it's not no egg, B'mukdashin, by Kachim, you know, how come? That's the question which everybody asks. Everybody asks. So the Rashba says, take a look at page 34 for a minute, and there will be a very interesting principle that will take place here. The Mishnah says, "Kol habasar asul levasher." So the Rashba in effect says, the Mishnah did take into consideration all of the previous Mishnayos, but eliminated any exceptions by simply stating, "Kol habasar." It applies Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Kodshim. It always applies. So why does the Mishnah begin with levasher and not Kol habasar asur le'echol b'chalav? Lishne dekra naka dechsiv lo sevasher gadi b'chalav imo. V'asur levasher, v'asur le'echol kamar. When our Mishnah says Kol habasar asur levasher, it means Kol habasar asur levasher and asur le'echol. V'ha delo tana hacha v'noheg bechulin ubumukdashin kedisnan beidach pirke afal gav the basa bechal of nami bumukdashim noheg kedisanya betosefta basa bechal of noheg ba'aretz ubechutzlaretz bifnei abayis shelo bifnei abayis bein shel chulin bein shel mukdashin applies to everything bein shel chaya ve'ov asur levasher bechal of. So why doesn't the Mishnah do something? Because Ela Dahacha Lishna Kita Nakat Ukatani Kol Habasa says Kol Habasa. But along the way, the Rashba touches upon the following issue. He mentions that Bisar Oaf, you're not allowed to cook Bechalav. Bisar Oaf, you're not allowed to cook Bechalav. Because this Mishnah is operating not according to Rabbi Akiva, who we paskin like. Rabbi Akiva, you'll see later on in the perek, says that Psar Oaf, Bechalav, is Mutta Midoraisa. You're allowed to cook Basar Bechalav, Basar Oaf. It's not considered. It's only a Gzeira Midrabanan. The question is, how far does the Gzeira Midrabanan go? And this touches upon an important principle. I'm going to give you the case which the Gemara illustrates, a machloikus amoroi. If I take chelev, prohibited fat, and I cook it with milk, and I eat it, will I violate the law of eating basa b'chalav or not? Will I violate the law of eating basa b'chalav or not if I take chelev and I cook it with milk? Why not? Correct. So the Gemara says everybody holds ein isur chalal isur. Okay, that's the Gemara's. This was just another question. It's Mosef and Isur Ana, but that, there's a machlokes amoraim. That's the whole. That's the kernel of the debate. Are there any exceptions to the rule of ein isur chalal isur? So one opinion is you don't get malchus. Everybody says you don't get malchus for eating. The question is, do you get malchus for cooking it? For cooking it. Because cooking is not an isur chalal isur. There is no isur to cook chelev. There's no isur to cook chelev. So you can't say that the isur of bishul, of basa b'chalav, should be precluded based on the concept that one isur cannot be compounded upon another one. There is no other isur of cooking. There is no isur of cooking. So what's happening? So there's a machloikus amarai. So what's the lomdus of the machloikus? The lomdus of the machloikus is, do we look at lo sivashel as the prohibition of cooking as a totally separate isur of the isur of eating? It's a separate isur and has to be judged independently. So if it has to be judged independently under those circumstances, it cannot be denied. If I take the chelev and cook it the chalav, of course I'm going to get malchus for cooking it. Because it's not isur chalal isur when it comes to cooking. Because there is no isur to cook chelev. The other man, the Yomar, says, no, you have to perceive the Isur of basa, of cooking basa b'chalav as related to what? To the Isur of eating. Somebody mentioned it. Why does the Torah tell us not to cook it? Because what does the Torah want to protect you? It's like a gzeira mida oraisa asyag. What don't they want you to do? Eat it. So in order to make sure you don't eat it, the Torah said don't even cook it. So if you have a situation where there is no isur to eat the cooked product, mida oraisa, it's only mida rabbana. Only midrabbana. Is there an isabishul midrabbana as well? So the Rashba believes there is. That midrabbana, since our Mishnah says, kol habasar, and that's going to include oaf as well, this Mishnah is not established in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But it acknowledges. It acknowledges. Later on, the Gemara says you can say that our Mishnah operates according to Rabbi Akiva as well. And the word kol includes Isurei d'oraisa and Isurei d'rabbana. So some meats you're not allowed to cook and eat mid'oraisa. Other meats you can't eat and cook mid'rabbana. Says the Rashba, an example is chalav and oaf. You're not allowed to eat it midrabbanan, but if it's asur midrabbanan to be eaten, you must also include the prohibition of not allowed to cook chicken and milk. Because the isur has to be perceived as one unit. It's the unit is eating, cooking, hana. It's all one laugh, all merged together. The Rambam disagrees with the Rashba. And if you go to the Rambam on page 68, Halacha Dalet, this is Perek Tes of Hilchos Machalos, the Suras Halacha Dalet, V'chein Bisar Chaya V'Oaf, Bein B'Cholav Chaya, Bein B'Cholav Behema, the meat of a Chaya and an Oaf, whether the milk comes from any source, eino asur ba'achilu min ha'toyra. Lefikach mutar levashlo u'mutar ba'aniyah. You're allowed to cook chicken and milk, and you're allowed to sell a Big Mac that's made out of chicken. A big chicken Mac with cheese. You're allowed to sell it. No problem whatsoever. What is the kernel of the debate? Whether you're allowed to cook chicken and milk or not. What's the kernel of the debate? The kernel, yes. What is the... how do I see the relationship between Isur Bishul and the Isur of Eden? According to the Rashba, it's one bear. If it's one bear, if the Rabbanan created an Isur, did you not allow to eat chicken and milk? It has to come along as well that it's usher to cook with the Rabbanan. And Hanal would be usher with the Rabbanan as well. According to the Rabbanan, this separate love. The Isur of Bishul is one thing, the Isur of Hanal is something else, and the Isur of Achila is something else. And the Rabbanan chose only to create the Isur of Achila. But you're allowed to cook? Yes.
The Rabbanan could also hold it split, but the Rabbanan believes it's all in, it's fundamentally one, and the Rabbanan is broken out.
The Rabbanan were mistaking exactly what the Torah said. You know,
why do you have to make that assumption? Why do you say that assumption? Yes, okay. But if Rabbanan make it look up, make zero, does it affect the derisive? So you talk about if Rabbanan says don't pull shofar for Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos,
is there a mitzvah? So maybe that's what Rosh Bo say, hey.
I hear, perhaps. Okay, Rabotai, I'm sorry I have to stop.